This is a commercial-free, streaming on demand presentation from WBPN.
On Tuesday, May 26th and Wednesday, May 27th of 1970, George Harrison entered the hallowed studios of EMI, later to become known as Abbey Road, to begin his first post-Beatles studio album a mere 6 weeks after the world learned of the beloved band's breakup.
That was difficult, particularly towards the last few years when I was writing a lot of songs, John and Paul continued writing, and Ringo also started writing a few more. And it was difficult, you know, an album had average about 12 titles on it, and it was hard to get songs in. That's why All Things Must Pass had so many on it, because it was like being constipated for years, and suddenly being able to let loose, it was a real relief in a way for me. I mean, there was good moments and bad, and since then there's difficult things about not being in a band, and at the same time there's good points because you can mix with more musicians, different people. We only ever played, the four of us together, and it was it was a bit strange. It made me feel really weird trying to play with other musicians.
George managed to get over the weirdness of playing with other musicians. People who joined him on All Things Must Pass included Eric Clapton with his soon-to-be dominoes Carl Radel, Bobby Whitlock, and Jim Gordon. There was also Klaus Voormann, Ringo Starr, Dave Mason, Billy Preston, plus Pete Ham, Tom Evans, Joey Molland, and Mike Gibbons from Badfinger, Gary Wright from Spooky Tooth, Tony Ashton from the Remo 4, Peter Frampton and Jerry Shirley from Humble Pie, Alan White, who would later join Yes, Gary Brooker from Procol Harum, and horn players extraordinaire Bobby Keys and Jim Price. On the first day, he recorded demos of 15 songs with Ringo Starr on drums and Klaus Voormann on bass. On the second day, George alone played 15 more songs for co-producer Phil Spector. All Things Must Pass was released on November 27th, 1970, as a three-record set, and it was hailed as a masterpiece around the world. In the year 2000, 30 years after the release of All Things Must Pass, George was asked what he thought.
But it's interesting, like, there's one on there now, Let It Down, which the studio version of it is quite good, but it's very big. You know, I think if I could, I'd like to sometime just reduce the studio ones down a bit.
I thought, God, too much echo.
Over the past couple of years, Olivia and Danny Harrison oversaw the loving remix of these precious songs so they'd sound more how George heard them in his mind. On August 6th, Capitol UME released multiple physical and digital versions of All Things Must Pass, with all of the original songs remixed. The deluxe and super deluxe versions contain demos and songs that have never been released. There's also a very limited Uber Deluxe box set available exclusively at georgeharrison.com. You discover music and sound of vinyl bursting with bliss and containing two beautiful books. A scrapbook curated by Olivia Harrison with photos, handwritten lyrics, diary entries, and memorabilia, and a comprehensive track by track. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Over the next hour, we'll celebrate the 50th anniversary with archival George Harrison interview and thoughts and tales from Eric Clapton, Gary Wright, Dave Mason, and Badfinger's Joey Molland. Welcome to George Harrison's All Things Must Pass at 50. All access.
My sweet Lord, my Lord, my Lord, I really want to see you, really want to be with you, really want to see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my Lord, my sweet Lord, my Lord, my Lord, I really want to know you, really want to go with you, really want to show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord,
hallelujah,
my sweet Lord,
hallelujah.
the sumptuously remixed Grammy Award-winning single from the 50th anniversary edition of All Things Must Pass, My Sweet Lord.
My Sweet Lord. Originally, this was a very bold song to release, I guess, because in effect, you were coming out of the spiritual closet, right?
Yeah, you know, people, don't want to say that. Everybody wants to appear to be real cool. You know, oh, I'm a blues player, you know, and I am cool. I don't know how anybody who's got the blues can be cool because, you know, the whole purpose of life is to be happy. So if you're not happy and you're all miserable, then you haven't, you know, you're uncool. That's the way my mind works. But I heard that Edwin Hawking singers, which got reissued or somebody played it in San Francisco, it became a big hit again in the, I think, the late 60s.
You're talking about Oh Happy Day?
Oh Happy Day. It was such a nice record. That really blissed me out when I listened to that record.
Very uplifting.
And I just thought, oh, I got to write one of them. You know, that really, that song comes from, for me, when I first went into India, I read this book by a guy called Swami Vivekananda, and he was the very first Swami who ever came to America. I think it was in the 1890s. He said, if there's a God, we must see him. If there's a soul, we must perceive it. Otherwise, it's better not to believe. It's better to be an outspoken atheist than a hypocrite. And I thought, yeah, right on. You know, all these years I've been hearing all this stuff like, well, you know, we'd like to believe in God, but, you know, he's dead. We nailed him up 2,000 years ago, and just shut up and give us your money. And that's the kind of spiritual attitude that I was brought up with. And to hear somebody saying, if there's God, we must see him. I thought, yeah, right, I want to see him. And so I wrote that tune on that kind of basis.
Badfinger's Joey Molland.
My Sweet Lord memory is Eric trying to work out the guitar solo while we were doing the backtrack, starting out with a couple of notes and ending up with that really nice lead line. He did all that at the session while we were playing the song. I think we only played the song 3 or 4 times. But already at the end of that, the note was there, you know, the do-do-do-do-do-do, those licks and all that stuff. It's tremendous to see him work it out.
One of the most rocking songs on All Things Must Pass was written in January of 1969 when the Beatles were filming Let It Be.
It was just a very, very difficult, stressful time. And to be, you know, even under pressure, being filmed having a row as well. So that's what happened. I just got up and I thought, well, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, I'm out of here. And so I got my guitar and I just went home and wrote Wawa. Yeah, well, the first track we ever did, it was this song called Wawa. And it sounded really nice in the studio, all this nice acoustics and piano and no echo on anything. We did it for hours until we, you know, he had it right in the control room. Yeah. Then we went in to listen to it, and I listened to it. I just thought, I hate it. It just is so horrible.
Did you say that to him?
Yeah, I said, it's horrible. I hate it. Eric said, oh, I love it. So I said, well, you can have it on your album then. But I grew to like it.
The first song recorded with the full band in the studio on May 28th, that's the fantastic 2020 remix of Wah Wah, found on the 50th anniversary release of George Harrison's All Things Must Pass. Here's keyboardist Gary Wright recounting how Klaus Voormann invited him into the recording sessions.
Klaus called me and said, George is looking for a keyboard player. Do you want to come down? I said, I'd love to. And his road manager called me back and gave me the details, but he gave me the wrong time. So I actually came down and just as they were starting to record the basic tracks for Isn't It a Pity. So I'm trying to learn the song on Wurlitzer piano and while they're running through. And then all of a sudden, everything stops and the talk back comes out in the studio and there's Phil saying, wait a minute, who's that guy on the piano? And here I'm with Eric Clapton and George and all these people, and I felt like about an inch tall. And George immediately came over and diffused the situation, saying, don't worry, he just got here and he's just learning it. So it was fun. But George wanted to have that wall of sound kind of production for All Things Must Pass. But my experience of it was that as the album went on to be recorded a little bit further down the line, the rhythm section shrunk down from, you know, maybe like 12 people in the studio to just five. And that usually was George and Eric and Jim Gordon, Ringo sometimes, and Klaus Voormann on bass. And that was the rhythm section. Or Carl Radel, he was one of the other bass players. Which, you know, was just a more of a little smaller nucleus. And that was more fun for me rather than, you know, playing with this big wall of sound kind of orchestra.
Isn't It a Pity? Now, this is a very, very moving song. And I remember back when it came out, it was one of the songs that attracted me most to that album, just because it seemed so sad. And it was so true at the same time.
Right.
Was this a personal experience that this was born from, or?
Well, usually, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, most people have had this, you know, situation where, like they say in that other old song, you always hurt the one you love. Mm. And I'm sure everybody goes through that in life, and that's why people can relate to that.
Isn't it a pity? Isn't it a shame how we break each other's hearts and cause each other pain? How we take each other's love without thinking anymore, forgetting to give back. Isn't it a pity? Now some things take so long. How do I explain when not too many people can see we're all the same? And because of all the eyes can't hope to see, the beauty that surrounds them. Isn't it a pity? Pity.
break each other's heart and cause each other pain. How we take each other's love without thinking anymore. Forgetting to give back, isn't it a pity?
Take 27 of the beautifully spiritual song, Isn't It a Pity, from the 50th anniversary version of All Things Must Pass by George Harrison. There's also three other versions of the song on the Super Deluxe and Uber Deluxe releases. Also on those two versions, you'll be amazed at the 30 demos that George ran through on May 26th and 27th of 1970.
They weren't even made as demos. You know, I was working on the record with Phil Spector. He was going to co-produce with me, so I had to, like, sing him the tunes so he got an idea of what the songs were about.
The engineer just happened to stick a mic there.
I'm waiting in the queue to go to the Cosmic Empire. I'm on a front row pew down at the Cosmic Empire. An omnipresent view down at the Cosmic Empire. The one truth comes shining clear. It feels right there. The one world's all disappear. It shines bright there. The Cosmic Empire. Dad, the Cosmic Empire. Dad, the Cosmic Empire. To where our souls are filled with joy. Can't resist the spirit no one can destroy. You find bliss at the Cosmic Empire. At the Cosmic Empire. At the Cosmic Empire.
The previously unreleased Day 2 demo of Cosmic Empire, a song that did not make the original version of All Things Must Pass.
We all had a couple of slugs and this stuff, and then we just kind of fizzled out and we all went home.
You'll find out what that's all about when George Harrison's All Things Must Pass at 50 All Access circles round again in a few minutes.
No login, no passwords, no monthly charges, and no delay. We're instantly on, playing the biggest hits of all time right now. From 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Going out of gold is green in my limousine.
Thanks for rejoining our celebration of the 50th anniversary of George Harrison's All Things Must Pass on All Access. Another superb guitarist whose talents graced the album is Dave Mason.
There were a lot of people in those sessions, and it's hard to know who was on what, where, and when. But I'm pretty sure that I was on jam session, Pepperonis, Beware of Darkness, Waiting on You All, and Hear Me, Lord. Anyway, All Things Must Pass, great album, great piece of work. George put his heart and soul into it, and it'll last, I hope, for a long time.
Watch out now, take a beware of falling swingers.
Anniversary of All Things Must Pass, Beware of Darkness.
One, two.
Despite the joy that's evident on a bunch of the songs on the original triple record set, George Harrison was going through a tough time personally while he was recording it.
I think as you look back, most of life there's always something happening. Yeah, at that time it was... My mother was in hospital for about, in and out, over a year, and finally she died in 1970. And, I was trying to do the albums, going up and down to the hospital, you know, like going 200 miles up to Liverpool and back. And, there was a lot happening. There was, like, one thing I remember was one of the first sessions we did, because I used Eric and his band at that point, which he just formed, was Derek and the Dominoes. And even before they made the Derek and the Dominoes album, they came and played for me on All Things Must Pass. I think we learned from our mistakes. The very first session we did, we all got in the studio, and then somebody had this bright idea, said, hey, it's probably Eric. Now, maybe I shouldn't talk about this now because he's been on the wagon and he's been straight for years, but he's, yeah, you know, sent the roadie out for some 2 bottles of tequila.
Hello.
And some lemons and salt, right? And he said, yeah, well, let's just have it, you know, get in the mood. And then we all had a couple of slugs and this stuff, and then we just kind of, that's it. It just, we fizzled out and we all went home. I think we just...
The session never happened.
Never happened at all.
Here's Eric Clapton on how Derek and the Dominoes formed because of Delaney Bramlett's response to his band asking for a raise.
Well, I stole them, really. They all wanted more money, basically. And it was going to be a strike situation if they didn't get a raise. And they actually just went tentatively to Delaney and said, can we have more money? And he said, no, you're fired, all of them. So I thought, well, I'll take the rhythm section and form my own band. And I did, and I went back to England, and I took Jim Gordon, Carl Radle, and Bobby Whitlock. We lived in my house for about a year and wrote and played, took dope, and just stayed high a lot of the time. And formed Derek and the Dominoes, without actually knowing what we were going to do, you know. All Things Must Pass was in the studio. George was doing that. Well, he hadn't started on it yet, but he had all the groundwork done, but he didn't have a band. Well, he had musicians, but he wasn't happy with them. He knew about Delaney's old band, and he knew that I had them at my house, and we sort of did a deal that if he could use them on the album whenever he liked, then we could use Phil Spector to produce whatever we had to do. So we had a couple of songs which he produced, and they went in and did most of the tracks on All Things Must Pass.
You don't need a love it. You don't need a big hand. You don't need a heart as you pull the back. Just don't see the message you're in. If you open up your heart, you know what I mean. The people who need to love, that is a way for you to get clean. By chanting the name of the Lord, that you'll be free. You don't need no passport. You don't need no visa. You don't need to designate up to any grave before you can see Jesus. If you open up your heart, you see he's right there. He always was and will be. He'll relieve you of your care. By chanting the name of the Lord, and you'll be free. The Lord is the wind of your heart. You don't need a church house. You don't need a temple. You don't need a rosy beads of the books to reach the sea that you have fallen. If you open up your heart, you know what I mean. If you can't dance alone, we're all sinking and we're all green. While the Pope was 51% of general voters. But the Lord is awake, though your heart will wake and see. By chanting the name of the Lord, and you'll be free.
A song that occurred to George while he was brushing his teeth. Awaiting on You All, the 2020 mix from the 50th anniversary edition of All Things Must Pass. George Harrison's slide guitar work is gorgeous. He learned how to play the slide when he was touring as a guest with Delaney and Bonnie.
That was Delaney Bramlett saying, you played the Dave Mason part on Coming Home. Yeah, I never really got into it before that.
And you just had to, right there, learn it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can do the other stuff. You bar the whole, you know, you have an open tuning and bar the whole thing and do 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 do.
Yeah, like the old blues.
That kind of stuff. But I used it because I had a lot of years off of playing guitar. I never really practiced it, and I was out of touch with it when, in the 60s, I was practicing sitar for about 2 or 3 years. I never really played guitar much, and I was having, you know, real trouble just coming up with something that sounded like, you know, worth having. And yeah, so I was just fiddling with that slide, and that's how it came about, you know, on My Sweet Lord and that album, that All Things Must Pass. Although my playing now is much better and it's a better sound now, but, you know, I just used it as single string licks, basically.
Right, and I'm also using, it seems like,
kind of harmonies and stuff, yeah.
Everyone has choice when to and not to raise the voices. True that decides which way you will turn. My feeling that our love's not your concern. It's you that decides.
That was one of George Harrison's favorite songs from All Things Must Pass. Run of the Mill, take 36.
Hi, this is Dave Mason. More revelations behind the recording of George Harrison's All Things Must Pass. As our All Access 50th anniversary celebration continues in a few moments.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to say goodbye.
It's like your personal iPod with no downloads required. 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM. The biggest hits of all time.
Thanks for bringing your ears back to George Harrison's All Things Must Pass at 50 All Access. I'm Dan Meir.
Most musicians, though, you know, I mean, they will play and play. You know, I think the best example I can see is somebody like Ringo. I've watched Ringo on so many sessions. I saw him do a session for Leon Russell once as well, where the rest of the band weren't getting him, and Ringo just played didn't miss a beat, and he was just perfect timing, and he'd play, and he'd do take after take after take for about an hour, and then he'd just say, get up, light a cigarette, go to the toilet for a pee, come back, sit down, and then do the same again for another hour and a half, you know. And most musicians, you know, they, once you get them in that situation, they'll just keep on playing. And the way we did that with Phil Spector was, it was kind of all done live. There was some overdubs in as much as I overdubbed, so the backing voices and the horns and strings when he had strings. But all the rest of it was done like Phil's wall of sound is done in the arrangement. You have the two drummers and the guy, you know, the three maraca players and the tambourine player, and the two pianos, and you know, it's like
14
that.
14 guitars.
And yeah, they're all there in the studio, and it's a lot of work, but it had its moments because you work out the song until everybody's playing their part right. That gives him the chance for hours and hours and hours getting the right sound.
Right.
And eventually you go and listen to a playback, and it's like the finished record, really.
So there's the method to the madness there.
There is, but I think that's all the result of the early recording techniques where you didn't have multi-track. Well, right. Even then, All Things Must Pass was only done on an 8-track.
Yeah, you know, I forget about that.
Although I bumped a few, half of the song, about eight or nine songs onto a 16-track. They'd just come to England.
What is life? Now, this was a song you originally wrote for Mr. Preston, yes?
I've long since forgotten about that. But now as you remind me, that's true. Everybody recognizes it because you got that fuzz guitar. It's such an up.
I will always associate this song somehow with a wall of sound.
You mean the What Is Life? Yeah, well, Phil Spector was on that record with me.
Mm.
It's not as much of a wall, because on that one, you know, it was swimming in echo.
What I feel, I can't say, but my love is up for you any time of day. But if it's all love that you need, then I'll try my best to make everything succeed. And tell me what is it.
remixed as George wanted, and now out on the 50th anniversary of All Things Must Pass, What Is Life?
The whole idea of, well, all things must pass is a very philosophical thing. You know, sunrise doesn't last all morning, and, you know, a cloudburst doesn't last all day, and a sunset doesn't last all evening.
Sunrise doesn't last.
Title piece of George Harrison's 1970 masterpiece, All Things Must Pass. George first discovered that phrase in a 1966 book by Timothy Leary, Psychedelic Prayers. Unfortunately, that's the last song we have time for, but before we go, let's get a parting thought from George.
It doesn't take long to be from 17 to being 57. Mm. 40 years just goes like that. You know, now I understand about 90-year-old people who feel like teenagers, you know, because nothing changes. It's just the body that changes. The soul in the body is there at birth and is there at death, and the only thing that's changed is the bodily condition. So, you know, all this stuff about where, you know, age groups fit or don't fit, or where the music belonging to age groups fits or doesn't fit, is stupid. It's all just in somebody's concept, and all they do is limit the potential of the marketplace or the audience.
You can pick up any of the 50th anniversary editions of All Things Must Pass at georgeharrison.com. You discover music and sound of vinyl. George Harrison's All Things Must Pass at 50 All Access was produced in New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to Olivia Harrison, Danny Harrison, and David Zonshine, Jim Merlis of Big Hassle Media, Michelle Guttenstein of Park Life Unlimited, and Jamie Hartley of UME. I'm Dan Meir. Thanks for listening.